It has been a pretty eventful and successful year for Irish sports in 2016. The Olympic and Paralympic Games alone had drama, comedy, controversy and tragedy for the Irish. Our rugby teams made history, our national football team gave us lasting memories, and some lad called Conor McGregor flew the flag for Ireland all year round. And on the phone with me right now to talk about those moments, amongst others, is Irish freelance sports journalist Colleen Duffy. Hello, Colleen.
Good to be with you again, Anthony, and a happy Christmas.
Yeah, you too. It's been kind of a very, very busy year sports-wise, isn't it, for Ireland?
It certainly has. I mean, you reflect back on 2016 and I suppose you touched on some of the moments there, controversy, delight, and I suppose along the way, some sadness as well. A lot of Irish sporting legends, heroes, greats, etc., passing away also as well. It really had a mix of absolutely everything this year as well. And I suppose when you see the RTE Sports Awards recently, you mentioned Conor McGregor, he came away with the top gong. And I suppose some people were mentioning how the sport of MMA isn't recognised by Sport Ireland. Yes, Sport Ireland obviously are connected with the awards, formerly known as the Irish Sports Council, of course. But it just shows how much Ireland, how far we've come, I suppose, sporting-wise, that there's yet another sport to add to the mix. I know Conor McGregor's been making an impact over the last couple of years, but it just shows that we're really packing a punch, I suppose, pardon the pun, on a sporting stage, and it was certainly a busy, busy year.
Yeah, definitely with Conor McGregor, he would be, I suppose, the most recognisable face of the UFC at the moment. How did a guy from Dublin become so big in the sport?
I suppose through sheer work and effort, and I suppose we have to touch on the comic element along the way. He's an entertainer, I suppose, both in and outside of the ring as well, and that's kind of built up his legendary status around being the biggest name in the UFC and MMA at the moment. And obviously, as I said, the hard work has to go in, and he's certainly put in the effort in the ring. Two big wins in 2016. And really, when you look at what he's done, I suppose, he just came, I suppose, at the right moment as well. He came when MMA was on the rise, and he certainly made his name out of it, and he's certainly done a lot for MMA, I suppose, as well. He's probably become bigger than the sport in many senses as well.
One of the recent legends around Conor McGregor is he's going to appear in Game of Thrones. He's throwing his hat into the acting ring now as well, which I suppose a lot of people didn't really see coming, did they?
They definitely didn't, but I suppose he has the talent. As I said, he's an entertainer outside the ring as well as in it. I suppose most of that entertainment comes after his fights in the ring and taking that microphone, and you know, you never know what's going to come next. And I think that's the thing about Conor McGregor. He's one of these, I suppose, unique people where he transcends sport. I mean, a lot of people might necessarily be fully interested in MMA, but they know about Conor McGregor, and that says a lot about what he's done and achieved and how far he's come over that short while as well.
Yeah, it's true. I suppose, speaking of kind of rings, it's been a mixed year really for Irish boxing. A lot of controversy at the Olympics, and I suppose Katie Taylor now as well, having come out of the amateur sport, doing pretty well for herself. Two professional wins under her belt.
Yeah, and very impressive in successive weeks as well. You know, that's a busy schedule in anybody's language, and really she's done herself full credit. I suppose we'll reflect back on the Olympics with disappointment in the boxing sense. I suppose for Katie, the dream, I suppose, had to end at some stage, that magnificent run that she went on. And, you know, one dream ended, but another one began. And certainly she's taken to the professional ranks with aplomb as well. And, you know, obviously touching on the Olympics, Michael Conlon, the fine came through recently, almost €10,000. He's not going to pay it because obviously he's gone outside of the amateur ranks as well, and he'll be looking to burst forward as well. But I suppose outside of kind of the ones that there's been focus on. There's been the likes of Donegal man Jason Quigley working away quite hard, and he's been certainly doing quite well on the professional circuit. He turned professional quite early on in his career, and he's really an upcoming star, and he's only going from strength to strength as well. So I suppose while one reflects on 2016 with a lot of disappointment for Irish boxing, there's probably a lot of hope in the future as well. I suppose the amateur side of things, you know, we've lost some of our big names now, like Paddy Barnes, of course, as well. And it's going to make for an interesting Olympics in 3.5 odd years time as to how our boxing team is going to stack up. And I suppose one interesting note as well is Billy Walsh, the former Irish boxing coach, the former high performance manager, being named as the International Boxing Coach of the Year. Of course, he's now with the USA, and he had been seen as being surplus to requirements, not my words, in an Irish boxing sense. And look what he's done. He's turned the fortunes of the US. They've done quite well at the Olympics, and also taking that international gong as well. I suppose, you know, it shows in another sense how good talent we have in the coaching structure as well as in the rings or on the field or whatever. But it's just a pity that he's not in charge at the moment. But it will be nice, I'm sure, if he could come back in the future as well. And hopefully that door is still open for him.
Yeah, and you kind of mentioned a lot of the big amateur boxers, big amateur Irish boxers having moved on and coaches having moved away as well. Do you think Irish boxing is in a bit of trouble at the moment?
It's been in a bit of flux in the last couple of years, to be honest. I suppose a new CEO came in maybe about 2 years ago, I think it was, Fergal Caruth, Michael Caruth's brother. Of course, Michael represented Ireland back in 1992. In the Olympics in Barcelona, and came away with a medal as well from that. There is a bit of, I suppose, passing from the old guard to the new, and it takes a little bit of time. I suppose administrative structures, you know, sometimes don't move as much with the times, maybe as the actual sports themselves do, if you like. But Irish boxing always has had a healthy interest. It always has had a healthy talent coming through. And I hasten to add another cliche, well, to use the packing a punch cliche again, but it's, you know, when you think, and I know this is another cliche as well too when it comes to Ireland and sport, but it is true for like the small island that we are, we do quite well. Like, I mean, to have such a variety of sports, I mean, when you think of the fact that our two main sports, our two indigenous sports in Gaelic football and hurling, soccer coming closely behind that, rugby following on as well. And then you've got athletics and boxing. And obviously there's a lot of other sports that people take part in the country, but they're kind of the main top five or so, shall we say. The fact that two of them are indigenous sports, I think we do quite well. And you'll also find, I mean, skill sets transcend. I mean, you'll have a lot of people with Gaelic football backgrounds, particularly transcend to rugby. You have a lot that will transcend across to Australian rules sport as well. So when you actually look at the amount of talent and success that comes from this country, I mean, if you compare, just for argument's sake, if you compare the RTE Sports Awards to the BBC Sports Awards, and you're just looking at the talent that's there, and then you kind of break down the figures per population, we're doing quite well. And boxing is one of those sports that we will always do well in. We can always do better, but so too can every country in every sport, or every team in every sport. So I think the future for boxing, it's in a pretty healthy state in general. Just I suppose, to go back to something we were touching earlier, the kind of losing some of our big amateur names to the professional game, is that going to impact hugely on amateur sport, on the amateur side of boxing in this country, or are we going to bring through some good, decent talent in the future? And I think we have some good young talent coming through as well. So, I mean, there was a lot of guys at their first Olympics this year as well. I mean, there's boxers like David Oliver Joyce, for instance, and a lot of others behind them too as well that have time on their side as well. So we do have some good boxers coming through in the next while.
I suppose kind of looking at other aspects of the Olympics as well. I suppose the big standout heroes of the Olympics would have to be the O'Donovan brothers from Cork. They kind of came out of nowhere, really, didn't they?
Yeah, I suppose relatively. I find when it comes to the Olympics, you know, most of kind of the focus, if you like, is kind of towards boxing and athletics, in terms of what the mainstream public will know, maybe in the intervening period between one Olympics and another. But yeah, these guys have been working very hard in the background as well. And I suppose there isn't as much focus on rowing maybe as there should be. It's a bit like, I suppose people would have been aware of Annalise Murphy from the previous Olympics as well, but may not have followed her journey all that closely between London 2012 and Rio this year as well. And that's where our medal successes came from. But certainly the O'Donovan brothers certainly lit up the sport. And I suppose we were talking about Conor McGregor earlier, lighting up the ring and also outside of it. Certainly in the case of the O'Donovans, they were brilliant in terms of action, but just the characters that they were, you know, people embrace characters, and they certainly got embraced this year. And it's just, it's been a roller coaster ride for those guys. And they're so open, they're so honest. And I suppose talking about boxing talent coming through, they're young as well. Like, there's plenty of time behind these guys to win a hell of a lot more. And certainly, if it wasn't for Conor McGregor being nominated for the Irish Sports Person of the Year awards and a public vote, these guys would have been probably top of the pile, because they're tremendous. Like, and I suppose the thing about it too is that, you know, they can do it both individually and as a team of brothers. And I suppose, you know, if you look, I mean, there's the Brownlees in triathlon represented Britain at the Olympics. You know, when you have your brother helping you along as well, like, it really makes a difference. And that's kind of, it's a good part of the nucleus as well of how they've become so successful. And hopefully the sport of rowing just goes from strength to strength, because it's really something that we've plenty of water in this country. There's no doubt about it. And there's plenty of places that they can practice as well. So hopefully it springs up a couple of extra rowing clubs as well. But I just think it's actually interesting as well from a Cork perspective. People don't focus enough maybe on how much Cork is actually a haven for sport. I mean, you go down to the Mardyke in Cork and you see there's rugby, there's hockey, there's rowing, there's everything down there. Cork is a county has been a hotbed for Irish sport over the years. And I think sometimes that gets lost in the mix as well, just how important Cork has been to Irish sport as well. And that, I suppose, was typified in the lads from Skibbereen taking those medals at the Olympics as well.
Yeah, and kind of otherwise, then in the summer we had the Paralympics, obviously in Rio as well, and 11 medals for Team Ireland, which was higher than they expected, wasn't it?
It was a little bit above the Irish expectation as well. But, I mean, we have developed so well. The structures for Paralympics in this country have been absolutely brilliant. And it's showed, I suppose, that you put in the work, you'll get the results as well. And the achievements of these guys are just absolutely outstanding. I caught some of the action in London in 2012, and I would know a few of them, having interviewed them and spoken to them over the years as well. And they put in just so much effort. It's outstanding, really. And I suppose Katie Dunleavy and Eve McChrystal's achievements with the cycling, that was just one. There's so many others. And I know 11 medalists came home, but in reality, there was a lot of PBs. There was a couple of first-timers as well. We're talking about rowing there. That was in the Paralympics for the first time as well this year. Just to get that sport to that stage of competition as well. There's so many achievements in the Paralympics from an Irish perspective that didn't make the headlines per se because they weren't medal achievements, but it was quite a successful Paralympics for Ireland overall. And I know they were particularly happy with how things went, not just from a medal perspective, but overall as well. And that bodes well for the future as well. Just like thinking to Nicole Turner as well, the 14-year-old from Port Arrington in Laois, how she qualified for her first Paralympics. She made finals in, what was it, 5 or 6 competitions I think she took part in. You know, that was an outstanding achievement in itself as well. And it just goes to show that if you've a good structure behind you, good support as well, it really pays off. And from a Paralympic perspective, I can't wait for 4 odd years' time, because I think we can better that medal haul as well. I'll stick my neck out of the line this early and say that we'll be coming back with a shedload of medals.
Now, something that interests me actually about the Paralympics, because like yourself, I was kind of semi-involved with the Paralympics in London in 2012. On the broader kind of picture of Paralympics, do you think it's getting more kind of popularity and more steam behind it?
I think so, yeah. Certainly in this part of the world, anyhow, we seem to embrace it very well. I mean, it was nice kind of for it to get onto RTE this year and to get that coverage as well, put it more into the mainstream even more. I know the Channel 4 coverage has widely acclaimed as well, going back over a couple of years now at this stage. It's certainly, I think the human endeavour and what it is, you know, it's more than just sport as well. And I think that's what's really gripped people as public imagination, I suppose, definitely. But also, it's got people involved as well. And that's the thing, like helping out, volunteering and different things as well. That's what really makes the difference too. And I think it's, if you look at kind of the overall 360 approach to it, it really has taken off. It can only go from strength to strength as well. But I suppose there are certain places where, you know, you're only going to have a certain level of population that will be eligible to take part in it, in that type of competition to start off. And then obviously, as an extension of that, people who are actually interested in taking part as well. But it has really invigorated people. And, you know, there's some great stories from the Paralympics and from Paralympians right across the world as well. And it's only going in the right direction, I think. It's on, I suppose we might touch on the Olympics a little bit as well. And I suppose the cost of hosting things, and it's a year where Ireland have put in a bid for the Rugby World Cup as well. And that's been structured, I suppose, hoping towards 2023. But the reality of the situation is these events lose money in general terms. But I suppose the worth, you can't put a price on the worth of these type of events to not just the countries that they take part in, but they are staged in, but also the worth that comes on it in terms of the athletes and just the sport and mood of the nation and health of the world in general, I suppose, as well. It's something that can't be quantified.
And it is a good thing. Speaking of rugby, you touched on rugby there. It's been a A pretty successful year for Irish rugby teams. Ireland and Connacht doing pretty well this year. Ireland beating South Africa, Australia and New Zealand in 1 year. Did you ever think you'd see the day?
I don't think so. I mean, that win over New Zealand was certainly a long time coming, but I think we would have been happy with just that in the 1 year. if we talked about this 12 months ago, I think we would have been happy with just New Zealand. But certainly, I suppose it's no surprise. I mean, that we can beat the likes of Ireland, or sorry, that we can beat the likes of Australia and South Africa in the 1 year. I think, you know, those are the kind of results that Ireland have always been getting every so often. We're in that zone, if you like. But I suppose New Zealand was the monkey off the back, and I suppose as an extension of the surprise win over New Zealand, did anyone think that when we would eventually beat them, that it would take place on American soil in Chicago as well?
Yeah.
It was kind of the perfect Irish homecoming for all those people who'd emigrated to America and were living around the Chicago area, and then the masses that travelled out for the game as well, and just the impressive nature of the victory. It was certainly a special moment, but, you know, once Robbie Henshaw went over for the first try, I know there was a whole 80 minutes of a game to follow. Well, the try wasn't obviously that early on, but a huge momentum behind Ireland to try and keep that going, and they certainly did. And it's just one of those moments where, kind of, when you look back at this time of the year, you kind of go, that was not just an impressive game because we beat New Zealand. It was one of our most impressive displays as well. There was real hard work and determination, gritty performance, and it certainly showed. And I suppose when we started off the year with just two wins in the Six Nations, many thought maybe that it'd be hard to carry that get momentum going maybe again in the autumn, but we've showed that we can bounce back. And I suppose the real key thing here is taking the momentum from autumn internationals into the Six Nations. It's something that Ireland have done quite well over the years. They had good campaigns prior to 2009, for instance, when we won the Grand Slam. So hopefully from that perspective, on an international front, we could have a good start to 2017 as well.
Yeah, a lot of momentum possibility there. I suppose the win against New Zealand had a bit of a bittersweet taste because, of course, this year, Munster coach Anthony Foley passed away as well. That was a bit of a shock, really, wasn't it?
It certainly was. And I suppose at the start, I touched on a lot of Irish sporting greats passing away. And he was certainly, I suppose, towards the top of that list, if not on top of that list. It was a tremendous shock. And I suppose the way Munster kind of bounced back from that, they got a victory in their next game after Anthony's passing, and it really solidified Munster. And Munster has had a good innings over the last few months as well. It's been going well for them on the pitch as well. And I'm sure Anthony is behind them, and I'm sure the spirit of Anthony Foley is driving them on as well. But it was certainly a sad time for Munster, but certainly they solidified themselves well. They had a lot of support rallying around them, and certainly on the pitch, they done quite well after that as well. And I suppose, speaking of on-field matters and provincial teams, and you touched on it earlier, Connacht having a great year as well. That was just as big a deal as Ireland beating the All Blacks. You know, it's a real story of hard work, triumph and adversity over the years, and finally getting over the line as well. And I suppose the big disappointment there from a Connacht perspective, I should say, is that Pat Lamb will be departing shortly, and, you know, he's been a huge part of their success. But it'll be interesting to see if they can take it to the next level now. I suppose, in some respects, it's a challenge for Connacht as well. They're seen by many to be the fourth province. I suppose there's a lot of use of the province for development, etc., as well over the years. But they finally came good this year, and it shows as well. It's a bit like what I just said about Munster and people rallying around them and getting the success. Connacht really have the entire province on board. It's not just a Galway thing, it's a provincial thing, and that can be that extra bit of a notch that can push you over the line as well. I mean, the atmosphere in the sports ground is just absolutely electric. It's no different to going up to Ravenhill and Ulster, the RDS, Leinster, or down to Thomond Park or Musgrave Park in the case of Munster as well. And they've really put in huge, huge work. They've got the talent, but the problem in a Connacht perspective is trying to hold on to that talent. That's been the challenge for them over the years. And it's going to be tough for them at the midway point of the season now to try and keep going as well. It hasn't been going according to plan maybe at the moment as well, but there's a long season ahead. And if they could push even for that fourth semi-final spot, I'm sure they'd be happy with that, because certainly it's a big challenge, I suppose, when you think of the resources that other teams would have as well. And they've certainly been punching above their weight and a deserved success. One of those fairy tale stories of 2016, I suppose, to kind of mirror the likes of Ireland's win over New Zealand, Leicester City's win in the Premier League, etc. There's been quite a few fairy tale stories this year as well.
Absolutely. Again, lots and lots of great memories. I'm going to talk about one more, and I suppose that would be the Irish at the Euro Championships. Not only the Irish teams, but the Irish fans as well.
Yeah, the Irish fans. I mean, we got an award for having the best fans. I mean, that kind of says a lot. And I suppose it typifies 2016. I mean, if there's any extra awards to be handed out between now and the end of the year, they may come to Ireland, such as the way things have been going.
We'll take them. We'll take them.
we definitely will. But I suppose that kind of... It actually I suppose backs up a lot of what I've been saying in the chat about the importance of support. You know, you do have obviously the on-field exploits, the hard yards and training, etc., etc. But you can't beat that extra bit of support as well. And Ireland certainly lit up the tournament in terms of, I suppose, not just their support for the Irish team, but the way that they just embraced the tournament and the support for the tournament as a whole as well. And it was quite a special thing. And it's kind of, these are the kind of moments when you're sitting back in Ireland and you're not there, you're kind of going, geez, I'd love to be a part of that. But unfortunately, everybody couldn't be there. But the actual tournament itself was outstanding. But I suppose the big thing for us outside of that highlight in terms of the support was that goal against Italy and beating Italy in the major championships. Robbie Brady, no better man to score, or at the Stade Pierre in Lille. And, you know, I think that has to go as one of the Irish sporting moments of the year as well. But I'd say, Anthony, if I was to challenge you to, I was going to say a top five, but even a top 10 of Irish sporting moments, it would be very hard to actually decide out of 2016 alone, yes, what you might put as the top moment, because that was certainly up there, a huge contender, probably the leading moment up to the around summertime, I suppose, as well. Then we had the New Zealand win coming after, and there's so many other moments during the year as well. It's certainly been a huge 2016. I suppose notable mentions go to the likes of the Waterford under 21 hurlers win the All Ireland for the first time since 92. That was certainly a long gap bridge. Then actually, if you go back in the same competition, Westmead's under 21 hurlers beating Kilkenny was a bit of a shock during the year as well. Gaelic football, I suppose, the old Gard reigning in Dublin again on a senior perspective, Obviously, Tipperary taking the mantle over Kilkenny in the senior hurling was quite an achievement as well. There's been so much in 2016 that I think if you dedicated 4 hours to talking about it, you still wouldn't have enough time. It's been a crazy year, one that was unprecedented, one that was unexpected, and it certainly threw up a fair few headlines that we won't forget for quite a while.
Yeah, and I think some of that will fall into next year. I'm thinking of Pat Hickey in particular, but we won't go there now. Listen, Colleen, thanks a million for talking to us today and for looking back at 2016.
No problem at all. Have a great Christmas and all the best for 2017.